I, Sea Voyager, welcome to Eternum, an ancient land of fantastical legends. The Lore Seekers, four of the finest storytellers of the New World, await your arrival. They'll spin ye a tale of mystery and adventure. So grab an ale and rest ye self from your journey across the cursed seas.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome. This is Lore Seekers, episode 15. And on this week's show, we are talking Into the Void. We're getting caught up there. We're also talking PTR to release times, weapon buffs, and lore breakdown on the Ancients. We're your hosts. I am Jibs. I'm out of breath, and I'm joined by cardio. I'm joined by Solus.
Greetings, Seekers.
Greetings. I'm also joined by Cash.
Cash is Kilborn, please. That is the correct name.
And vomit in my mouth. My good buddy, Chimp.
What it do?
Yeah, baby. What it do?
So I warned Cash at the beginning to not take my line again, or I was driving to California. And then I had to say, no, I was kidding, because he was like, come on to California. Shit, we'll have some dinner.
Come on
but
down.
No. Good time.
Sounds like a party. Let's go.
Let's make it somewhere else. I'll drive to you. Put it that way. We don't have any water.
It'd take you 3 days.
We don't have any. We don't have any nice people. So I will drive to you.
Still amazes me you're running out of water. That's the lore book that'll never be found.
I feel like you're near a pretty big body of that. I don't know.
Can't drink salt water, silly. It makes you go crazy.
Silly goose.
Oh, hey, K-Champ, can I get some more salt water?
You should probably stop drinking salt water then.
Hey, want to lay low for a while there.
You killed a man with a trident.
We said we weren't going to talk about that on the show. And now I got to go in hiding. Witness protection, here I come.
You may want to lay low for a while. Police are looking for you. Anyway. Some reason he's Irish. So what's going on, gentleman?
We all breathe at the same time.
Take your time. I mean, it's clearly we've got some heavy talking tonight.
It's like that moment when you have you hit an intersection at the same time and you don't know who's going to go first. It's like a fight to see who's most polite. Mm. We all took that breath at the same time. Hey, I'll go first. Family's coming in for Thanksgiving. So I have not touched the game since Monday. Had a great, great show co-host and gone crazy for 2A Eternum. Had that on Monday night. But then I'm hosting family and friends for Thanksgiving. So let me just pause real quick and say, everybody who's listening, who will be listening, happy Thanksgiving from the Lore Seeker family. We love you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Yeah. Happy Turkey Day. It's a special time for us. And it's funny, Solus, that you say that everybody in your family is coming to you, because all of my family is going away.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as like a woe is me thing, but, holidays in my line of work sometimes suck. So, I'm working pretty much the whole weekend. So I'll be going back to work on Turkey Day, which, as of this recording, is tomorrow. So my daughter's out with family, and my wife's going to be here and spend it with her sister. They're just going to kind of hang out with her sister and her mom and dad. So, I'll probably get a fire station visit with the girls, which is kind of nice, except for my daughter. She's miles and miles away celebrating with family. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, we make it kind of cool at the firehouse. We cook sometimes. We have some years where some people will they donate meals to us and stuff. So it's kind of cool because technically, holidays get pretty busy. So
I like anyway. I like how you make it sound like an anomaly. Well, we cook.
And, yeah.
There's a microwave. Yeah,
it turns out firefighters cook like a lot,
out
right?
Cook, so, it happens.
We're really good with fire.
That and takeout.
Yes.
Just.
Yeah, we're really good at throwing. We're really good at throwing frozen turkeys into vats of boiling oil.
That's
to see what happens.
That's right.
Well, with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, I'd also like to take the opportunity to say I'm thankful for the three of you. Let me finish. That's and I'm thankful for the community. We have surrounded ourselves with some of the best people I've ever come into contact with. The people in our community came because of our podcast, so they knew the type of people we were. Therefore, it has been a wonderful event to have all of these new people come into our lives. It's been a joy leveling up and everything like that. So I'm very thankful for, one, the game, because obviously that's how I'm able to meet these people, the people that we're gaming with. And then, of course, you guys. And it's been we've had some good times over the last few. You know what I'm saying? So cheers to you too, my brother. But just you guys, I love you to death. Salute.
You too. I'm going to take a drink.
Yeah. That's actually, it's not a bad idea for us to say what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
Like truly, truly. So thank you, Champ. I do appreciate that. I'm going to drop in here real quick and just say, you know what? I'm also thankful for you four. I'm thankful for the opportunity for us to be able to hang out and talk with each other on a show and have people show up and watch and have some really cool content to make and, you know, spend part of our lives diving into something that we truly love in this game.
Yeah.
I'm pretty thankful for all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Go ahead. Yeah, I hear you.
It's that breath. I got to get that microphone out of my mouth, you know?
We're working
on it. There are a lot of people putting everything into this, right? So the four of us, I mean, any type of free time that we have away from our family and friends, we're putting into the work. But let's go beyond that. The developers at AGS, the individuals that are making this what it is today, this has been, and not to just completely fanboy out, but this has been one of the greatest experiences in gaming that I've had in 2 months, really in my entire life. And it goes to really every contributor, whether you're a person in our community, a gamer, you three jerks, the developers, like, man, it's been a lot of fun. I've been humbled. I've been excited. I've been more passionate about my content creating craft than I've ever been. And so thank you all for that. And of course, for anybody else who's watching, thank you for what you do.
That's awesome. Yeah, I guess I'm last. Oddly enough, like I'm just thankful for the this entire ride. You know, like when I remember when I started casting in 2012, I was just a young kid. Just had a child early on in our marriage, and it was SWTOR then. It was the hot thing before Twitch was hot, you know, and just to see, and you know, I'm big into audio anyway, and just to see how far casting has come along, and I'm a fan of the craft, and so just seeing it develop and then just being a part of shows and then developing, just the being able to be a part of all the things that, well, I've been blessed to be a part of the games and the communities and the, you know, the shows and, you know, cast. When Cash and I started casting together, like pretty much full time in 2014, 2015 to where we are now and having Solus and Champ, you know, our friends here, it's just like, hey, it's just, you can't beat that. You know, it's, I told my students the other day, I said, you know, you can have, if you're lucky in this world, you're going to have some friends, but you may only be able to count on your hand how many of those are in the trenches with you. The ones who are with you during the hard times, when you're in something together, where it's a hobby, whatever you're doing, you may only be able to have just a small handful of that. And if you do, then you're really blessed, because that's family. That's not blood, you know, born with, that's family that's acquired. And there's only so many seats at that table. And I'm very blessed to say I'm sitting with three others at this table that, you know, it's just, there's only so many chairs there, and I'm very fortunate and very thankful, and I love all this right here.
I love that, bud. We are truly the people that talk each other off the ledge. You know, like when we call each other and like, I'm having a really bad day. Don't do it. Don't come back to the light. It's gonna be okay. Well, maybe just a little hop. Don't do the little hop.
Just test the waters.
We talk each other off the ledge all the time, because like I don't care what anybody says. Like creating content, it's a commitment, and luckily we love that commitment.
Yeah.
So we're dedicated to doing what we do week in and week out for this game, and for everybody that shows up here.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's one person. We're going to continue to do what we do because we freaking love doing it. So anyway, mic drop.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cash, we have Extra Life coming up this week for those who are listening on release day. Give them the details.
Yes, we do. And it's something that Sol's been pushing to on his show. And we're really excited about Extra Life. If you're not sure what Extra Life is, friends, on the 4th of December, we are going to be having our Extra Life stream. And that stream is going to be filled with all kinds of events. It's all going to be in New World with our community. And Extra Life, in a nutshell, it is an opportunity for gamers to give back to children's hospitals across the United States and Canada, yep, where we get to raise funds for kids. And those funds, every single penny that we raise goes directly towards the care of kids, taking care of their families when they can't pay for the care and things that are needed within those hospitals. I can talk 100% with 100% certainty about this charity because I've been doing this charity for several years now. I ran a local chapter here in Orange County, California for Extra Life and was actually able to see in our local children's hospital where those funds go, exactly where those funds go, and spend time with kids who are sick with their families in the hospital who actually benefit from everything that Extra Life does. The funds are insane. I think they're working on getting towards, I think this year they're looking to getting towards their $100 million mark.
Oh, yeah.
Over the life of Extra Life, which is insane.
That's amazing.
So team up with us. You'll be able to donate. You'll be able to join our team. You'll be able to take part. Go to extra-life.org and search under teams, search Lore Seekers. You will find us. You can either donate or join our team and take part in the things that we are going to be doing on the 4th of December.
December, yeah. And also, if you don't want to be part of the team, you don't have to donate. We'd appreciate it if you do, but come hang out with us if you can't. If that's all you can do, just come hang out with us. We're going to do a full day stream. It's probably going to be a 12 to 12 is what we're looking at right now.
Pacific time, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
But just come hang out with us. If it's holiday season. We understand money's tight. If being on a team's not your thing, come hang out with us. Because you just being there will give us the power to continue to stream through the day. Yep. And you know what? If enough of you show up and we do good enough, I might force these guys to do 24 hours. That's a challenge.
Ooh. I'm old.
That's a challenge.
Man. I'm going to need a heavy buff.
That's a challenge. But my point is don't not participate if you can't donate or be on the team. Just come hang out.
Absolutely. Because
we need people to come hang out. We need people to talk with, to, you know, have in our chat to give us ideas, to laugh, just to have a good time with us. So please come out and join us.
Yeah, we absolutely need you. Absolutely need you. And we have some things in store that are going to make probably each one of us look ridiculous and act ridiculous. It's going to be probably viral the next day, I'm sure, on our YouTube. Cash, I'm looking at you.
I'm just going to say one word that I think a lot of people will understand what it means, and that word is cashmere.
Hey.
There's only one reason I would do cashmere again, and that's for the kids. So there.
I'm throwing my name in the hat. I will also get done up.
Only Crocs. You're
gonna be, he's going to be Jibzabella.
Jibzabella. Jibzabella's coming back. Oh, swing. She's been working the streets, and she's looking mean.
Oh,
God. I'll be the bearded bimbo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I said only Crocs, but then I want people to come, not avoid us.
Yes. We need them here. Yeah, I'm excited about the events. We're actually finalizing stuff today, and a lot of fun things. If you're a part of the company, there's one that you can take part in, and it's going to have a formidable gold reward. Solus, this is happening. Sorry, Governor.
Let's roll.
All right, cool. You're going to want that for your pocketbooks, especially. But anyway, it's exciting. Yeah,
I'm glad you said that because the in-game events in New World are going to be, they're going to be pretty legendary, I think, especially the one that Jibs is talking about is going to be a pretty legendary event. So our company's going to want to take part. If you're not in our company, that's totally fine. Just show up and watch because it's going to be funnier than shit. It's going to be freaking funny.
It's going to be funnier than shit.
So, oh.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen. Oh, into the void. You know, this last week, if anyone's listening, like, guys, this is release day. This came out 40 years ago.
82 years.
82 years.
They want you to say grace. All right.
What the blessing?
Sorry.
God. Oh, so good. Anyway, I was thinking of more lines to quote. The last time we recorded, we, because of work schedules and the way things lined up, we had to do it super early. So we missed the full public release of Into the Void. So we're kind of covering it today and providing, you know, like our takeaways, where we're at with this so far. And we're just going to open this up here. So Into the Void is now out. It's the first major release of New World. And Void Gauntlet's there. A vast amount of bugs were hammered out. Improvements all over the place. I'm pretty confident there was an undocumented visual improvement to the game. I don't know if anyone else picked up on that, but visuals look different now. They look better now.
The map certainly looks tighter.
Yeah, it looks a little more dialed in.
It looks definitely dialed in, and I've noticed a lot of the little, things that were fixed. There were some specific NPCs with some issues. you would go to an NPC and the NPC would literally be dancing. They'd be doing the uptown thing.
Bruce is doing it right now.
I've seen a couple of really good videos on YouTube. They're short little videos, but like they put it to music.
It's Night of the Roxbury. Macarena.
They put it to the Macarena, dude, and I was dying. But anyway, they're fixed. Those things are fixed. Oh my God, dude.
I saw Cham going up and down. I'm like, Night at the Roxbury. Like, yeah. We should all just
broke the window again. It's okay. I'm gonna tell Dad you did it.
Yeah. What?
Just kidding.
I think one of the things I noticed about graphics too, since we're on that, is I have a 3070 Ti, and I had a lot of glitches and problems from the beginning of the game, and I literally had to turn the settings down because I was getting some fading and stuff. But I know it's a new card, so. You got to wait for optimization. I don't have that problem anymore. So they fixed that too. So I think the graphics overall were done well with this patch. And it's really nice to see it because it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah, man.
Man, and the snow in the Great Cleve.
Oh, dude.
Dude.
Speaking my language.
I have stood there and just watched it snow.
Yeah.
Just stood there.
Yeah.
And yes. Man... If you can't find something good about this game, you ain't got a set of eyes, man. I'm just saying. I realize that there might be some issues that might be game breaking for you. I am having a damn blast.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah. It's still. Hard to believe this game has only been developed for just over three. It was developed just over 3 years, you know, around 3 year mark. And
the change, right?
And the change, yeah. And you only pay $40 at most. $40. To enjoy the game, no sub. Like anytime I hear people squabble, and I was perusing the forums today, and it's like, I think one forum post was like, "The devs should be replaced." I'm like, okay, so we're scrolling past that one. I'm just $40, 3 years of development for an MMO. Do you know how many layers are in an MMO? Do you know how many systems have to coincide together and work in unison? It's just like. To me, every time I log in, I say it again. It's a blessing every time. I love this game every time.
I have an issue with that. I think, I'm just babbling now. I think that, I'm having such a hard time with all of the negative that we're seeing because gamers to a certain extent, they expect near perfection when something comes out, especially in MMO. So I think a lot of the gamers who are playing this MMO, I'm not saying all, but I think a lot of them are potentially from the younger generation. Yeah. We, us four, are definitely not. We've had our share of several years playing MMOs.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them don't understand the development cycle of an MMO, and that it takes time to get things hammered out and perfected. And some of it could be a generational thing. Like I see it with my own daughter, who obviously I love super dearly, but when you have this box in front of your hands all the time, right? You expect to be able to get results immediately. For example, if I want to look something up about the world, nowadays I go to a search engine and you find said thing, right? And you find it within 5 or 10 seconds. When I was younger,
way back in the
day,
I
don't care about sharing my age. I'm 46 years old. When I was younger, I'll still run circles around some of you young bucks. So there's that. Anyway, when I was younger, I had to use an encyclopedia set. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that. I had to use a damn encyclopedia set to get some of my information. Now, when you think about that now, like, oh my God, from the time they make that encyclopedia to the time that you access it, that information could already be old. Like, it doesn't work. And that is not the world that we live in now. The world we live in now is you get things up to date instantly. Right. If a website was not updated with information within the last 2 years, you find another one that was.
Right.
So that instant gratification of things has transferred over into the world of gaming. And if you don't have your ducks in a row immediately, then we're going to flame you. And to me, that it's very sad to see that. And I hope to see some of that turn into patience over time.
I call it the participation trophy. I'm not trying to be mean, but everybody expects to win. Everybody expects to be the best, but nobody wants to put the time in.
There it is.
Everybody wants to be on top of the pile. Everybody wants everything handed to them, but they don't want to put the work in it takes to earn it. And that's why. It's because they don't understand how good it feels to earn something.
Right.
To grind something.
Yep.
To sit on a mob in EverQuest for days with switching with people. We did 24-hour coverage 6 days a week to get this one damn weapon, which means that I would give my account information to somebody else and they would log in when I went to bed. That's how much we had to grind back in the day.
Oh, gee, baby.
Nobody would even fathom that. People talk about SWG, Star Wars Galaxies. Oh, yeah. That game would never survive in this day and age. What do you mean I joined a Star Wars game and I don't automatically get to pick a Jedi? You mean I got to play this game and do all these things in order to chance?
You have to craft your saber?
Are you telling me I can't be a Jedi unless I can't do just all select these it? Things?
Yeah. I just can't select it in my character creation? My point is I think what we miss is that the genre of gaming has changed. But we're still hoping that people love the MMOs. The great thing about it is we have younger people in our community that are the same way we are. Yeah. They care more about community than they do about weapons or gear or imbalancing. You know, we didn't do the wars right off the bat because we knew that there was a problem, right? We gave AGS the time to fix it. When we realized they had fixed it, we tried our first war, right? We have done the patient game. It sucks when the trading post goes down. It does. It sucks that I can't trade trophies right now. I have 3 houses. I don't have trophies in them. But I'm not flaming because I have patience. There's so many other things for me to do. I don't need to do that right now. But it's tough. It's real tough.
I think from the other side of that token is, like, we also have to remember as a gaming community that there's no IP, there's no precedent for New World. There's no Aeternum lore, there's no New World platform like World of Warcraft has or Star Wars had. Like, there's literally no basis for what this game is built off of. So, yeah, we can complain about the graphics. Not really, because they killed it. We can complain about the sound. Nope, not that either, because they killed it. That's my point. Like, the things that we could complain about, they nailed. They kicked it out of the ballpark. So everything else that I'm reading or that I've heard from the forums, it's either a balancing issue, like a mathematical equation, like, hey, we need to figure out how to balance some of these mechanisms, or it's the fact that they're building literally everything from scratch. Literally. And I think we should give them more than 2 months before we just write them off.
Oh my gosh, just think how ridiculous that sounds. 2 months.
Yeah.
Not 2 years, 2 months.
Yeah.
Two months for a game that's $40 that was developed in 3 years. You know, there was a gaming article. I tell you what, if this is a sign for anything, here's the real talk. For any future MMO that comes out, any future MMO that comes out that doesn't hold your hand, this is what you're, this is what you can just about expect, the way that, you know, the way that a lot of people have related to this game. There is there was a, I think it was PCGamesIn.com recently, the last 2 days. I think it was, it may be Gamer Rant, I don't know. But anyway, said that basically that the difference with New World, it doesn't hold your hand the entire way. Like, you have to go figure things out. You have to truly, and I'm just going to speak candidly to lore only for a minute, you have to go seek that out. You have to go find these things, piece them together, find all the layers. Any good movie you watch, any good graphic that someone's made or painting is made up of layers. And it's like Onion Shrek. Anyway, and so, you know, like, that's what all this is. It's a bunch of layers, and you have to go find those things on your own. And to me,
right,
Cash, I said this to you so many times when we had the ESO show for Lore Seekers. I yearned for an open world game. Mm-hmm. I have that now. And I fully recognize, yes, there are bugs. Yes, there are frustrating things. We're not discounting that, that those things are frustrating and can be disappointing sometimes. But we've been in it long enough to understand that there is a lifespan of an MMO, and you have to play through that lifespan. There's going to be bumps and bruises. It takes time. It takes time. Be patient and enjoy it for what it is. Because to me, every day I log in this game, I love it. I love seeing the visuals. I love looking in at Eden Grove. Eden Grove? Yeah, am I saying that right? I'm saying that right.
Oh my God, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you go there and you see the fauna there, and the, you know, just the way that the different color hues that are there that aren't anywhere else. You talk about Great Cleave Champ, the snow, and it's open world, and I can go do anything. I can go pick anything I want. I can't, you know, it's just, it's special. And I, to anyone listening, do not take for face value what gaming media is saying about this game.
Yeah.
Go and play for yourself. It's $40 with no sub. You have literally nothing to lose. You've paid more for Call of Duty this year.
Right. let me give you a tidbit. I want to talk about something real quick. Just real quick. The arch from the Captain's Log and the Tales of Eternum.
Oh.
This page is faded with age.
Yeah.
We have come to a great arch in a wall. A construction even greater than the bridge we had seen. Before us looms the great mountain and the heretic. It seems strange to call him that after all the truth he has shown us, promises me, for there is no one left. We have left everyone upon the trail behind us. There were three ships of us once, and the promise of a new world, and all of its wonders. They are intended for me, fortune restored, youth restored. The heretic says we are close now. The base of the mountain, and we shall be there. I ask him what we shall find. He says such power that Eternum itself, even the crown of the mountain itself, shall be lifted from its foundations. And all who come to the shores and beyond shall feel the power of it. I do not know where the others have gone. There is just two of us now. And what lies ahead? Signed, Isabella. Don't tell me there's no lore in this game.
Dude, there's,
that is one lore page, and it makes the hair on my arm stand up when I read it.
Yeah,
that is lore, and that is better than World of Warcraft lore. I'll argue with you to the end of time, because this is in the game. I don't have to read a novel outside of the game to learn this. This is Isabella before she was turned, searching for the heretic.
Oh yeah,
dude. But if you want to know more, if you want to know more about it, this is where seeking lore comes in. I got a tweet the other day, my friends, that and I laughed. I truly just had a good solid laugh to myself. I tweeted out on my personal account about hitting 60 and how it had taken me a while, and I had taken my time and enjoyed every step along the process. And it really got sped up when I these guys drug me through a group into Shattered Mountain, and we got to do some of the elite stuff there. And I was below 60, and I was like, okay, I have to hit 60. So I made, like, those last few levels, they clicked along pretty quickly because I was so excited about hitting 60 and being able to do that stuff on the regular. But I really truly took my time. I read stuff, I went back, I would spend, you know, maybe an hour going through the lore pages that I could not read because they were in areas where there was so much aggro, you can't read them while you're standing there. And I got a reply to that tweet because I had mentioned the lore. And the person in this reply said something to the effect of, story? Oh, are you talking about those little lore papers scattered all over the place? And I could sense, I could sense the fact that this particular person wanted the story handed to them on a silver platter. Oh. And I immediately just said, you're not even in my realm with lore. And I don't mean to sound hoity when I say that, but when I say that we are seeking the lore, that we're seeking the story, we are searching for the story. That is exactly what we're doing. That is exactly what our community is driven around. That is exactly what our podcast is driven around. And we're not kidding. We're willing to take the time. So if you're saying that you truly care about story and you're willing to take the time, you don't tweet something out like that. Some BS stupid thing about being delivered story. You want story handed in your lap. Go play Star Wars The Old Republic.
There you go. And we loved that game.
At it. It's a great game.
We loved it.
It truly is a great game. But if you're not willing to put the work in to be a detective and learn about the world and absorb these things in and put these little things together and pick out all the little hints that AGS is putting out there for you, go right back to that very starting screen that they gave us of that conquistador helmet. Look at some of the lore pages that are out there that have cryptic texts in a language that we don't know. Put the time into it. That's when the worth of New World and the story will come freaking alive. And yeah, I sound animated because I'm getting irritated at listening to people say there's no story here. Open your minds. Yeah. Open your eyes. It's all there.
So first off, you made me want to go throw mountains. I'm all motivated. I don't know. Like, let's get in game. Let's go solo some shit.
Yeah.
I'm motivated, right?
You ain't soloing that mountain, I'll tell you that much.
No. I died in the first, 5 minutes I was there. Absolutely not. So what excites me about everything you just said is we're also not handcuffed to a time frame. Like, we're wanting to seek lore about how we got there. We want to seek lore about what's currently happening, and we want to do the research to find out what's coming, right? So, there is enough information that we've already uncovered in these lore pages of where we're headed. Excited about we're getting into that maybe in the next couple of weeks, but it's exciting to speculate. It's exciting to get into the ancients and these characters, the NPCs that you might not expect to be, are important, but they really are. If you read the context, if you really do what Cash is saying and do your homework, It's amazing in the current situation we're in. The possibilities are infinite. There's no time constraint on Aeternum, right? There's no race or culture that's blocked in Aeternum. This could literally go any direction. So that's exciting heretic. To me.
The heretic.
Yes.
That's one example.
That's
interested
right.
in the heretic?
Yes.
Why don't you ask Alexa?
There you go. Do it. And on top of that, you want to talk about being a detective? If you are missing so much, Cash. What book were we talking about earlier today, on Amazon? You remember?
We did a lot today. I'm sure I can find the name of it, but yeah, it's basically what was the name of it? It was something in the New World.
Yeah,
and it had to do with real life. I mean, it was a fictional story, but it had to do with the real life discovering of the New World. You want to find some parallels to this game? There are name dropping in just the description on Amazon's buy me now book site.
Yep.
We were looking at it going, oh, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is time period appropriate.
Yeah.
It's all about, conquistadors from Spain.
Yeah.
And there were names in there that are in this game. And this is a book that has nothing to do with New World, or does it? That's the stuff that we're talking about. You want to seek the lore, you need to open your eyes because it's out there.
Yeah, here's a name drop for you. Queen Isabella. Yeah, in that book. Yeah, it just, man.
Who knows? I didn't read the book. I don't know if it has anything to do with the game or not, but man, they sure are drawing some parallels of stuff in the real world, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we're seeing that with this game. We're seeing so many different layers that are kind of woven in. And, you know, I know, not to kind of take a turn here to go to Into the Void, but we're going Into the Void. So with this being out, like right off the cuff, I'm going to tell you right now, to anyone who's using a hatchet with Berserk, you want the ultimate 40%, was it 30, 40% mount buff that you would get in Warcraft? You can get it right there, baby. Because now you got that 10% running on the road speed buff, plus you pop Berserk, and for about 4 seconds, you can run like Forrest Gump down the road. And it is awesome.
Those look like comfortable shoes.
I just kept running.
Dad. Oh. So, anyway.
I'll be honest. Yeah, I'll be honest with y'all. I've been out of Azoth for quite some time.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure out how to get from the southernmost point of First Light to, like, I don't know, Shattered Mountain, and not take me 30 minutes to run. So, personally, this, like, speed buff on the road, magical. That alone was worth the patch. Oh. I'm happy.
Absolutely.
It's kind of nice to have that speed buff. And you can see when it pops up on your screen, once you're on a road, I think you have to be on the road for 3 seconds. And then that little 10% speed buff will pop up in the form of a small little boot icon on the bottom of the screen. And I think that was a really good answer to all the whining and crying about not having any mounts. And I'm not going to say that it doesn't, benefit me too, because yeah, absolutely. When you're doing content with friends and you have to go from point A to point Z and it is all the way across the damn map, that speed buff is definitely nice, especially if you're out of Azoth.
Yeah, being out of Azoth sucks.
Okay. I can either go do corruption portals for an hour and build myself up some of this blue juice, or I could just run and now it takes 10% shorter time. So it's actually kind of nice.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely handy, that's for sure. One of the other things that stood out to me was the auction houses. Joined auction houses now.
Oh.
Yep. You know what I like about that?
What?
Is now you see purple and purple towns, yellow and yellow towns.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to go to where the... Dude, it's pretty cool. And the fact that you can go to the auction house, sell your stuff up in the Shattered Mountain, so you don't have to come all the way down to an auction house that sells everything... It just, until we get the server mergers and we have the population to where every area, because we're a little small on our server and it's fine. It gives us the ability to do things and have fun. But once we get moved and all of those cities are bustling, right? And then you have the auction house. I think it was a good move. And even if they reverted it back once you get your population where it needs to be and gets balanced, it was a good move at the time. So kudos to AGS. I know people complained about this and that, but you know what? People are going to complain about everything, so I wouldn't value my information on complaints. I would just go with what works, because at the end of the day, this is a very successful, very fun, community-oriented game. And we talked about it before the show. You guys on the show have heard me say it before. It's Lich King era WoW.
Oh, yeah.
Where community was important. You knew everybody on your server. I run by people all the time and they wave at me. I have never spoken to them, but we see each other all the time.
Yep.
And it's, I love the community feel of what Amazon is making. And if people would just stop looking for trophies and weapons and the highest gear score and look at the work that was put into this and the work that was put in to bring communities together to do something at a common goal with the world as splintered as it is, no politics, but what greater way for a video game to bring people of different beliefs, whatever, to have a common goal? It's been a blast.
Oh, yeah.
We have all different types of people in our community, and we all get along. We all have a great time. It's because we have a common goal, and we just respect each other. It's a fun game, man. They've done a really good job.
Absolutely. Yeah, the pros completely outweigh, to me, the cons. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut it on your cash. To me, the pros have outweighed the cons. Like, it's very convenient. I do not feel that it is. Yes, I'm sure there's been some fluctuations. So maybe some that I've missed when I've been there selling. But to me, it provides a level of convenience without hampering any systems that are currently in place, you know, without bringing any kind of negative, a great negative to any of the systems already in place. It's convenient, and it's great. I love it. I love being able to buy something from, you know, Everfall when I'm in Windsward, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's going, I like yeah. this change because to me, in long term, you're going to see greater expansion. People not afraid to get away from Windsward or Everfall because you don't only have to own those two settlements to be super, relevant. You know, high end relevant, you know, when it comes yeah. to trading and money you're bringing in on your ledger every week.
That's right. That's right.
I think one of the things, too, if you look at, think about people complain about not having enough space or, you know, whatever. I just got my. Well, let me tell you what you're missing out on. You're missing out on three houses.
Oh, there you go.
You're missing out on three houses where you can put this your overflow in those other two houses, and you have your main house in the place where you hub.
Right.
The place where you build stuff. And then you just jump to one house, grab your stuff, jump to your other house. That's how you get around it. They give you the ability to do it, but they don't give it to you on level one 2 weeks into the game because you should have to earn that.
I'm a cheapskate.
Get that face off. I don't want to hear it. Well,
I don't want to pay taxes! Well, maybe you should and you wouldn't be complaining.
Hey, the taxes are like $20 now, dude. You have no excuses. You have no excuses. But my point is they give you the structure. Just because you don't notice it at the beginning, give it time. Play the game a little bit. Because I just got my third house and I'm like, I should have done this from day one. Holy crap. This changes the game for me.
Really?
So, yes. What I'm saying is there's a lot of components of this game. If you don't buy a house and you don't experience the trophies, the buffs they give you, the amount of storage you can add to it, there's so much in the game. I'm homeless. Where is my home? Death my blanket. Ardith, you need to come over for Thanksgiving.
He needs a hug. Somebody give him a hug.
If you live on the street, bro, you can come over.
Give him the hilly fillies. Actually, I'm trying to sleep under this damn bridge with this cardboard. This shit hurts.
Something funny in chat that I saw, Space Raccoon says, takes me like 1 hour to run 500 meters because all the stuff I find. And I'm like, that's
so true.
There are so many damn squirrels and shinies in the game that I cannot make it very far. And that does bring me to a point that I was thinking when Jibs was talking is... the beauty in the game is something that I notice. I definitely notice. And I play so much group content where you're running around with a big group of people just decimating stuff and, you know, trying to get the watermark up and hitting the harder content that that stuff starts to slip away. The sounds of the game, because everybody in Discord's talking, we're carrying on, we're laughing. But when I get that time to myself again, and I'm say I jump in for an hour or two and I'm just soloing and I'm just listening to the sounds, I'm not in Discord, that is when all that stuff, like, it flows right back into my soul. And I think that's I've found that really good balance to where I love playing most of the game with a group and with our friends and doing the things we do, but I kind of digress back to that quiet time with myself, and it makes each experience fresh again when I'm hearing the sounds and looking at the visuals and taking my time and just kind of run around gathering stuff. And I love having that dichotomy in the game to where you can ramp it up and then you can slow it down and truly, like, just really enjoy the game that was built. But I still have those aha moments when I'm running in those small groups, and I'm looking at a screenshot of it right now of my character in one of the expeditions with the picture or the effigy of the ancients, that split face, like right in front of me. And I got to just tell you, the wonder and the excitement of what the game has to offer and where it's going, it renews every time I see something like that. Maybe I'm a nerd, like I totally get it, but that's what excites me about a game with a fresh IP that has so much clear space in front of it to create.
Yeah. Hell, I'm excited. I mean, right after this, we're doing Shipyard Dynasty.
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't wait, dude. I'm so
excited to be getting into something I don't know crap about. I just know I need it for the main storyline.
Yes.
And
you're going to love it.
I can't wait.
And that right there shows you the dedication, and I'm going to tell you why. These three gentlemen put so much work in. That's why they haven't done it yet. And doing this stuff, sitting here and talking, having these conversations takes you out of the game. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. I don't think a lot of people do. And so I want to stop you and tell you how much I appreciate the dedication you guys have. because the amount of work that you guys put in behind the scenes is ridiculous. And I think it should be spoken. But there's a reason why they haven't done Dynasty yet is because they haven't had time. Because it's a lot of work. So, but I'm looking forward to that, guys. And I can't wait to get in there because I think you're going to love it. It's a great dungeon. It's a great expedition. It really is.
Can't wait.
It's good.
I can't Let's go find creative ways to die.
Hey, we just scored a drop.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, wait, did we score a drop? Yeah, by the way, everyone, lots of drops are enabled.
No, that's awesome.
Anyway, thank you. Thank you, champ. You too. Appreciate it for you too, my man. All the work you do behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. The one thing that threw me off, actually a couple things. My fire staff and I, Scotland, are no more on my bar because they got hit with a wiffle bat to the face repeatedly. But so I'm rocking my bow and my hatchet. I'm loving it. I had a great time. Great time, all right? But the one thing that threw me with Into the Void release, above anything else, because, you know, we give positive, so I'm going to throw, you know, I want to throw something, you know, opposite, and then we can discuss or talk about. The pacing from PTR to release was 9 days.
Yeah.
That, to me, was the quickest I have ever seen any game do this ever. And from a feedback standpoint, I'm going to play devil's advocate, okay? From the feedback standpoint, that is a very short window to receive feedback, put a game plan together of feedback you want to implement, get everything put together and implement those things, and then test those changes. That is a very small window. And what that looked like, again, devil's advocate, it looked like it may or provided the appearance of that the feedback did not carry enough weight to provide any kind of change, as if it was not listened to. So, from that standpoint, again, that's one standpoint. There's pretty other views that can be totally, you know, thrown into this. But from that standpoint alone, that was so, so fast. It threw me for a loop. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm like, holy crap, the marketing campaign's begun. Here we go. All right. What changes did they make? Oh, no, my fire staff. Oh, no, my ice gauntlet. No.
So your fire staff's not as bad as you think it is, just so you know. It's not bad anymore at all. I've seen some nastiness out of it. So I think you can go back to that, JB, if you want to.
Oh, okay.
I really do.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm enjoying the book.
I think with the PTR, though, we need to remember, I think they put the PTR for you to test the things that they had already implemented in the PTR.
There it is.
And a lot of people said, you didn't listen to us. No, they didn't listen to you. You weren't listening.
Yep.
They gave you the PTR and what they wanted you to test. And they made some changes. So what about the next PTR when it comes out and those changes are implemented? Give them at least a series of PTRs to catch up to your requests, because it can't be done overnight. When they entered this PTR process, I guarantee they had a framework of what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
Now, they stuck to that framework, and the things that they said they were going to change and some of the things that they changed were good. There were some things that weren't. There were some bugs that came out of it. Two months, first PTR.
Yeah.
Patience.
Right.
Patience.
Right.
Why don't we as a society learn that valuable term of patience as a virtue, right? And give these people, and I can tell you this because I work hard at my job like all these guys do too. These developers work really hard to put this stuff out. Absolutely.
I want it now!
Shut up, Cash, or I'm coming over there.
You understand?
So I've got two responses. He's getting his helmet. Hold on. Champ's getting his helmet. He's getting his combat helmet.
I'm going to allow this, but I'm going to have to respond to Champ.
Yeah. So two responses real quick. I don't think that the PTR ever really was built for like the Void Gauntlet. I think the Void Gauntlet was always ready to come out on this patch. It was always going to come out. And the PTR was like, here, dabble in it. But we're not really like looking for a lot of like validation. We didn't need a lot of like validation, in my opinion. And I think Champ was, there's a lot happening on the screen. If you guys are listening to the podcast, there's a lot of transformation happening. But the second piece, and I think Champ hit the nail on the head here, is if you go back to the betas, every single beta test had a purpose. Hey, for this beta test, we're testing server stressing. We're going to stress the crap out of these servers. That is the true purpose of this beta. And we went in, we tested it, and that was the experience. And we reported out on it. That was our feedback.
Right.
I think the PTR really isn't any different. Hey, here's specifically what we're looking for. Here's your feedback mechanism. But everybody took it to the infinite escape, right? They're like, what about this and that and all these other considerations? Yeah. That wasn't what the purpose of the PTR was.
Right.
Yeah, it's very targeted.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and I get that. But I also get what Jibs is saying. So if you're going to take the PTR and you're going to implement that PTR, that PTR should be for a cycle. And this may be what happened. Maybe it took place just very, very quickly and we didn't see it or notice it. But PTRs in the past have been, here's the content, play with it, break it. Tell us what you like, tell us what you don't like. And then a fix is implemented, and then that fix is tested. And then once that fix is tested, it either back to the drawing board or that thing is working, it goes live. I don't necessarily see, I didn't see any problems with the Void Gauntlet. I wish with the Void Gauntlet there was a little bit more flair, because I freaking like it a lot. And it provides a lot of love for my healing build. My heal spec is going to be infinitely better with the Void Gauntlet. So I didn't see very many problems with it. But if a longer cycle in that PTR needs to take place and that would make people feel warm and fuzzy, then maybe release the PTR a little bit earlier. And then once you get all that data, you know, make everybody feel all tingly and happy about listening to this stuff, then you take the PTR out and implement. But I will agree with Jibs. It did go very fast. And Champ, I definitely see the angst with that scary mask on, but I can't take you seriously because you're wearing pajama pants.
I don't know who this champ you're speaking of is. My name is Wolfmere.
Yes, it is.
My name's Maximus.
It's scary. I mean, I peed a little when I saw it, and then...
Hey, you don't like my pajama pants, bro?
Hey, man, Curious George knows what's
They're
up.
They're skulls, dude. Look at that.
Oh, okay.
They're skull pajamas. All right. Don't give me that.
I will say, at least they're not yellow Lakers shorts, with which Jibs usually rocks.
He's wearing a flannel. I want to punch you right in the throat right now.
He looks all professional up top, and then he'll be wearing some old, like, teenage... yellow Laker shorts under the table. Yeah.
I still have shorts from 7 years ago. I'll rock them to those things don't hold up anymore. I don't care.
And clearly
all
not
I'm
manscaping.
Saying is,
clearly
all
not
I'm
manscaping.
Saying is I put my helmet on so we could fight this out.
Let's go.
That's what I'm saying. I'm ready.
I'm a healer, not a fighter.
So Van Kraken in chat said, quote, it will take a while for them to integrate the PTR into the dev cycle. It's not going to be leaned on heavily the first time out. So, my other side when I wasn't devil advocating is this. I understand how they're going to do the PTR. That when something is released on the PTR, at least for this is my impression now, when it's put on the PTR, hey, this is what it's going to be. This is what's going to happen, okay? We want you to get in there and try to break it. As you know, like kind of what was said earlier. See if there's any heavy bugs that we need to fix. But this is happening. What you see right here, this is happening. Okay, cool. I'd love it. I understand now. It's different than exactly what you said, Cash, where they do what we're used to is, you know, to put something out, test it, break it, patch it,
right.
Test the new version of it, patch it, and then finally release. So to that end, I understand what the PTR is. I'm cool with it.
Yeah. And, you know, let me clear up a little bit of what I was saying about the Void Gauntlet. I am not the best at the Void Gauntlet. I think I only have it like around 16 or 17 right now, level 16 or 17. So I'm still working on it, getting it refined to where I want it to be. I don't mind at all the utility that Void Gauntlet has. I love some of the visuals, but like the light and heavy attacks to me is a little like I'm throwing a urinal cake at whatever enemy I'm throwing it at. So I want some more boom boom. And you got to understand, like, from my perspective, I'm using that life staff, which is incredibly effective, but I'm coming from my secondary weapon being that great hammer. And it is so hard to follow the boom boom of that damn great hammer. So
Warhammer.
Maybe a little more boom boom. The Warhammer. Yeah, I'm sorry. The Warhammer. I freaking absolutely love that thing. But the utility for a healer or any type of a caster with that Void Gauntlet is freaking insane.
Dude, it's cool.
The mana regen on that thing. And yeah. there were a bunch of people that, like, I was telling them, like, they're like, yeah, the Void Gauntlet's okay, blah, blah, blah. Well, did you know that you regen your mana incredibly quickly using that? Excuse me, what? Yeah, bro, hold down the right click and you regen your mana so fast. Yeah. And if you're standing at it, now to be fair, it regens your mana at the cost of your health, but it's not that significant. If you're standing in a heal anyway, you are not going to feel it. And especially as a healer or any type of caster, your mana is regened in like 3 seconds and you're right back to freaking spamming your skills. That is in freaking valuable when you're in a dungeon. It is even better than Ice Tomb. I'm sorry, but like the Ice Gauntlet is awesome, but this takes it a step beyond. The Void Gauntlet is freaking money. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for utility in debuffs, passive freaking healing, like there's one skill, I forget the name of that skill. There's one skill, you drop that skill down and you just DPS the boss and your buddies are healed as they DPS the boss because that one skill. You could almost use just the Void Gauntlet to heal most content. Now you get into the sweaty shit, you're going to need to switch over to your life staff and do what you do. But I'm just saying, do not discount the Void Gauntlet because the utility of that thing is freaking insane. I'm done passing the torch. I'll shut up now.
Real quick. I know I was told to shut up before I started, but hey, real quick. If you use the Void Gauntlet with the life staff and you're healing with both, it's perfect. Remember we talked about that? That's group content.
Right. You're right.
And then when you go out on your own, you put the Void Gauntlet away, bring that hammer back out. Now you have the ability to CC. But what I'm saying is a lot of people are still stuck in that WoW frame of mind, right? One spec. There are so many different ways that you could do content in this game, whether it's group content, PvP. Yeah. My setup for PvP is completely different from my setup for PvE. And I change it when I'm doing it. So I think you're on to something, Cash. You are definitely there because that gauntlet is cool. That gauntlet is cool. But I'm done.
Yeah,
agreed. Agreed. I look forward to seeing where it goes, like future patches, that gauntlet specifically, seeing how things develop. Typically, anytime, you know, any other game that we've played, the new shiny comes out, it's going to be strong. And then it's different with every game, but just one recollection is it typically gets nerfed. And then it gets built back up and built back up, nerfed, and then it's finally in its sweet spot after it gets a little bit more of a buff. So I look forward to seeing the longevity and the lifespan of the Void Gauntlet.
Right.
Specifically, you know, with healing and what you're doing there with that. So that's pretty cool. So overall, Into the Void, hey, look, first launch of a content update within New World, I was very pleased. Overall, very pleased. Yes, there's still bugs they're working through, but they hammered out so many different bugs and so many. Yeah. And, you know, there's things that were done that, and going back to kind of the way I started with, you know, visually, the graphics, they changed. I don't know if it was the contrast or the saturation, a little bit of both, whatever it was. But, man, they dialed in those visuals even more, made it even prettier, runs smoother, in my opinion, at least on my rig. I know it's running smoother. Yeah,
I will say I had right after the last patch, I had some very choppy gameplay and I was like, what the F is happening? And I just went back and realized that NVIDIA had an update. You do that update, butter.
Oh, there
so
you go.
Don't forget, keep your graphics cards updated because this game is that. What's the game out there? The Far Cry. This game is the Far Cry that takes some of your resources. So make sure your stuff's updated. The game will run like butter.
That's awesome. All right. Well, before we go into the lore breakdown, friends, we got a little thing here from Manscaped. So we're just gonna push the button. We'll be right back.
Ah, the 70s. Remember that semi-lucid time of experimentation, bell bottoms, disco, and streaking on campus through the quad and into the gymnasium? It was a time of defiance, free love, and big old bush. Yeah, those days are over. Nowadays, Viking beards are cool up top, but not down below. Squeaky clean, unobstructed, and ready for action is the current trend in hairdos for your no-no spots, if you catch my drift. That's where Manscaped comes in. Proper grooming requires precision, engineered tools. Your sensitive areas require it, and your hygiene demands it. From the Lawnmower Trimmer series to the more precise Crop Shaver, specifically designed for those tighter jobs, Manscaped's collection of crop-cutting contraptions will have your twig and berries up front and ready for action. So step away from that fro, bro. The 70s called and they want their bush back. Manscaped will help you clip it off, put it in a bag, and mail it back to them. Just wash your hands afterwards, okay? Right now at manscaped.com, take advantage of their Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales, save 25% off your entire order, and get free shipping. And if you order the perfect package or the performance package, you'll get free Manscaped boxers and the Shed travel bag for free. And don't forget, get 20% off Manscaped and free shipping with the promo code LoreSeekers at manscaped.com anytime. Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
What the heck, wow. Man? What the heck? Oh.
The beauty of that is that we'll kind of take turns making our little ditties for Manscaped, and nobody will listen to them until the show.
I didn't know I was going to be greeted by the 70s. That's good.
You broke me. I broke. Like, I'm glad I'm muted, because if you'd have heard the laughter that was coming out of me, you would not have the same look at me as you did. I was cackling. That was horrible.
I saw it, and I hope that there is some recognition for some of the things that I throw into our Manscaped bits are especially to trigger you knuckleheads.
So. You done good.
Yeah. You done good, Tater. Done good.
The Viking beard up top, but not below. I'm like, oh, ooh.
That was
that's
for
a bad.
You, so.
That's a bad imagery, man.
Yeah. So if you're rocking the Viking beard down below, bro, you better use the product that was sent to you.
If it looks like this, you're in trouble, man.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Oh.
All right, friends. Well, as we transition into breaking down the lore, my seekers of lore. If you've been with us, and you'll know that we have spent several hours now trying to discover the secrets behind the ancients. They are hard nut to crack. Their motivations, their intentions, whether or not they are good or evil. It's very plain to see that the ancients are a very complicated being. They're mysterious and perhaps quite self-centered. But tonight, we are going to take a deep dive into the possible origins and thoughts behind the design of the ancients, who we kind of think are based in evil at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or are they?
You know? Or hard to tell. Who do we trust? But if I may, lore page of statuary and symbolism. The statues within the temple were strange, indeed, yet were clearly of the culture that came before. Yet the likeness was peculiar. Each statue bearing a twin pair of arms and cleft down the middle, much like the spheres great and small. A division of the self, a representation of duality, perhaps. In one of the statue's hands was a weapon, the other a familiar orb, outstretched. Perhaps it was a religious symbol. Or something to channel other forces, perhaps. I found another skeleton, intact, but with a spear and armor, unlike the ones in the perimeter outside. A leader, or ruler perhaps? It had to be buried. It seemed more a guard of the stone coffer within the temple.
Hmm.
So that brings us to a lot of questions. I mean, that lore page, thank you, champ, that lore page was covered in our lore lesson, and I think the biggest part of that is the duality that it speaks of. And the fact that when you look at the effigies, the statues that they had made in their own image by slave labor, they have a split face and four arms. But why?
I go back to, at first, my first thought when I saw this, I'm like, I don't know. And I'm still trying to figure it out.
There's so many questions.
I don't know. But the more and more I think about it, the more and more I see, especially after of statuary and symbolism, the lore page. It's a good reminder that this could be a representation. This, to me, I still believe that they lean towards evil. But I also believe that this representation could mean that they operate in both. To whether it's to accomplish a purpose, which we've seen with the, if you take architecture, if you bring that in, you for instance, the bridge we talk about in the Fen, Weavers. You know, like, bridge. It was to accomplish a purpose. To have these ancient guardians that are now protecting all their stuff, that were their slaves in that time frame, to build these things, again, to accomplish a purpose. So I see this as a... And I don't even know that I'm completely set on this, but I see this right now as a representation of good and evil, that there's two sides to a soul. There's two sides to a person, and they choose to operate in both to bring them out about their means to an end.
Yeah, go ahead, Sels.
I apologize. I think good and evil, I think, comes from a place of reference or perspective. I think it's all relevant to that who decides to make the action or make those choices. Like, if you go back in like early narrative, it's what's called a diptych. A diptych is this form of writing where you always have like one truth and one lie, and you play off of each other. I think both can be true. I think they're both good and bad. And I think that's what I hear y'all saying. And I don't think the story is ready to really commit to one or the other just yet. I do think they maybe had the best of intentions. Maybe. I don't know if we have any substance saying otherwise, but they might have had the best intentions to rule with fairness. But I think the corruption of power might have split them and might have created that diptych. And here we are, fast forward in this state where, again, they maybe have had the right intentions, you know, corrupted by human nature, if they even are human.
Right.
Or corrupted by the Azoth itself.
That's there right. You go.
Because it was like, this is a very interesting thought to think that, because I was almost sold that, as we're going to talk about in a second, that the ancients were designed after Greek mythology, which we are going to talk about here in a second. But the split face, absolutely, with what Jib said, that absolutely does remind me of the duality of man and the struggle that man has between good and evil. And it you bring that back into a religious setting, and it's not necessarily easy to see the motivations of man, but could these motivations have echoed the same motivations of the ancients? They were just at a greater level of power. They could have gone either way, but that split down their face shows how easily they could go to one side or the other. You see what I'm saying? So it makes me think of it differently, this duality of the human.
My only argument against that is everything in Aeternum, when it is split, it shows a visible split. If you look at these ancients, these statues, they are pure. There is no damage to one side or the other. And for me to believe it was a duality would be like the helmet, right, of the conquistador in the base game. The first image, you have the one side of the helmet that is clean and able to be read with the Aeternum, that we've ciphered all of those things and we know what all of those things mean on that helmet. Then the other side is corrupted. Even the top of it has changed. If you look at it, there's more of a peaceful side on the bright side and more of an evil side on the left. So I agree. It could be depicted that way, but I feel like in a Aeternum, they tend to make that obvious. So maybe they're using that to hide it because the ancients are evil, right? Maybe they're hiding their true image because they're making themselves look pure. I get what you're going, and I completely understand that. I'd never thought about it either, which brought that into my mind. Maybe they didn't want you to know that that's what the split is. So you would trust them wholly, see them as a pure god, and worship them so they could take your soul from you and make you a guardian.
I definitely wonder if they purposely made themselves out to be better than what they really were for the purpose of worship and for the purpose of being referenced as a deity, and so that they could again accomplish what they wanted. Easier to enslave.
Yeah, optics. I mean, like, hell, look at the Branch Davidian cult. They did the same thing. You got David Koresh trying to make himself out to look like a prophet when he was a freaking demon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think I got entrenched with the thinking of the Greek mythology, but there's one little piece that doesn't quite completely sell it for me. So when you think of ancient Greek mythology from our world, humans were first depicted as having four arms, two faces, and four legs. Well, now humans coincided with the gods, and the gods, because humans at the time were said to be, they were rumored to be in these legends, very powerful, and the gods considered them a threat. So because of this, the gods decided to band together and split the humans into two to punish them. Now this action split them in two. The humans became what they look like today. One face, a male and a female, two arms, two legs. So they look the way that humans look now. But this splitting of them forever caused each other to look for the other half of their soul. And this is where the term soulmates is said to have originated in Greek mythology. Now, when you translate that into New World speak, into New World's lore, Isabella is rumored to have lost half of her soul. And she seeks a box, which was taken from her, that holds her other half.
You know, just quick side note, there's so much to Isabella outside of what you may see in a trailer where her eyes are glowing red, like the regard that she had for the church, the regard and care that she had for the approval of those in royalty. You find that out when you're reading the lore. That aside, the box, how, when we first started, we had those conversations behind the scene. What's in that box? And we start listing all this stuff. We start breaking it down. That trailer down. Yeah, right? I mean, we were breaking that thing down and we're just like, what's in that box? What's in the box? And here we are.
Yeah.
Finding
whatever it was, whatever it was, turned Thorpe into an asshole.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And when you meet him, when you meet him in Expedition, he's really big asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing for me, thing for me with Isabella is, again, go find the lore pages and you will see the depth of this character. Yeah. Because she has lore pages out there when she's whole and she's looking for the heretic. She has lore pages when she's transformed, when she's taking it out on her crew that were left over. There is so much information. And when we get to her and her lore stuff, when we will get to her, is going to blow your mind at the amount of information that is in this game about character. She's such a rad character, for sure.
She's deep.
You know, the cool thing I like about this, big shout out to K-Chat being my soulmate. But anyway, what I love about that is it's tied to our Greek mythology. Right. Again, how many times have you heard me say it? How do you get someone to connect with a game? Make it their world. First time that they've made a game based off of all these different facets of our ancient history. Yeah. I love it. I know, fanboy, you're welcome, but I really enjoy it.
And this is what happened to me. I mean, like, I'm not kidding you. Friends, you know, a lot of people know this. I came from 25 years of Elder Scrolls lore. And I loved it, and I know it very well, and it was a comfort zone. But it wasn't based on the real world. So to come into New World and see what they're basing it on, real-world mythology, real-world history, conquistadors, they actually happened. The Romans, they actually happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ancient Greece actually happened. All of that stuff has gotten me so much more interested in our real-world history.
Yes. Oh, man.
Since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And like, that is, it's such a draw.
Yeah.
How smart is that?
Yeah.
How smart? I mean, I cannot wait to see where it goes. Like, I'm chomping at the bit. I know there are people that are the game's, it does not suck. You suck. Sorry. I want to see where it goes. I just want to see where it goes, man. There's so many ways to go, right? I just want to see where it goes.
It's just the beginning. That's the best part. We're just starting. And it's 2 months in. There's so many layers. So many layers. Bringing the real world in to this game. I'm legit reading literature from, I'm going back to like colonial era literature now. Like in just books from college, pulling these things out, reading this just to further engross myself in the mindset of those who were in the late 1600s and the great, you know, the midnight era of exploration. It's right. Just like, so good.
Real quick, jump in. Do you remember who took the box?
Thorpe.
Of the soul we're talking?
Boy, we did.
I'm going to give it a second. I'm going to give it a second because I know this one.
Chat, do you know who took the box?
Who took the box from Isabella?
Oh, okay. I don't want to spoil that.
Well, we're definitely going to spoil it because we're covering this next week.
It's not Thorpe. Just a little heads up there.
There's a very interesting character out there, friends. And you, if you're mid to late game, then yes, you have encountered this character. And we seem to think that there is a lot more to her than meets the eye.
Yeah.
And that character is Adiana Theron. She is the mistress of the wild. And she is out there doing good deeds with the dryads and the angry earth. And it is a very interesting story arc. But she admits to being party to taking the box from Isabella, which has the other half of Isabella's soul. And that is, I'd say that's probably about as far as we're going to go into it. We're going to cover more next week, but, you know, we're kind of entering the realm of spoilers unless you're like mid to late game, which at this point it's like, yeah, and we got to kind of hit this content eventually. So, it adds a really, really good story arc into this whole thing. And I wanted to tie this into some of the other Greek mythology regarding the obelisks that are scattered throughout the lands. And Jibs, so in particular, because I know this one kind of interested you in particular, but what are those obelisks that are scattered across Aeternum named after?
Constellations.
Yeah. Yeah. So Greek constellations, and there has to be a reason for it. Like, why would they be named after the real world constellations? Well, you have to kind of figure that they're named after those constellations in a world in this parallel universe of the 17th century. If it's a parallel universe to our own, then those stars that are in the sky should still be the same. It should still represent the same things that they represented in the real world, in that non-linear world of ours, before we ended up in this third dimension world of Aeternum.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then like my thought is that those obelisks were maybe put in a position, and let's just go through the names. So there's Orion. This is all Greek mythology, and these are the constellations of Greek mythology. Orion, Hydrus, Oktans, Draco, Delphinus, and Cygnus. And those are some of those obelisks. My personal thought is that they are named and put in those positions because they are the closest to those constellations. And I personally think that they those obelisks draw power from the constellations. Am I right? I don't know. Speculation.
Now, this one fascinates me. So I'll get kind of deep here. I think time matters in this game. I think there's something that we need to pay attention to. Time matters. If you look at the exploding shattered mountain, the exploding obelisk, right, in the middle of your map, the things are frozen in space. So time is a thing. Well, let's go back to as far back as, you know, literature goes. The only way people monitored time and seasons was by the rotation of constellations. So where the constellations were at any given time was what season it was, right? Whether you've read the Bible or not, there's a lot of references about where constellations were, and that's how they were tracking where things happened, right? So constellations play a consistent, and that's key, it plays a consistent map of chronological order. And here we are frozen in that time. Nothing is changing. Nothing around you is changing from, you know, from that standpoint. So if you like, I would be interested to know like where those constellations are in Aeternum. Like, I would love to go to an obelisk named, you know, XYZ, look up and think, oh, well, there it is, right? At nighttime. There it is.
And I looked and I couldn't like make any out, but I love what you're saying, because what you're saying to me, and you know, the fact that people are uncovering some of the stuff, which maybe it ties to the fact that other people, other races of the world that were a factor at this time are coming to Aeternum. And what is one race in history, in the history of the world, that was incredibly tied to the constellations? Aztecs. The Aztecs built their structures based off of the best viewing angles to these constellations, because they truly believed that the world revolved around this static of time.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if that's too deep, but I truly believe that in the future, the Aztecs are going to be a thing here.
Well, which, by the way, real quick, champ. By the way, if you ever want to know which player in the game is a lore seeker, it's the one standing in a weird space looking up at the sky for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or the guy standing in front of something, just standing there.
Yeah, just standing there.
Because we're recording.
That's right.
What I think is nuts is a lot of civilizations were based around constellations. And that's the key too, the Egyptians.
Oh, right? Yeah. I knew that was coming. Totally. Right?
We just talked about the Greeks. Every one of your ancient mythologies ties some way, shape, or form to a type of constellation or using those said constellations. Again, tying it directly to our history and what our society and our world has grown from. Did the Aztec have ships? Nephthen? I'll see you in game.
Aztecs and pirate alligators. I love that you guys are right with us on this stuff.
But it's really cool.
We are so deep in our conversations, then AGS releases pirate alligators. Like, right? We're very serious.
I love it.
Yeah. You got to have some humor in there, right? We got to have the... What was the little bitty things that in WoW that...
Murlocs.
We got to have our Murlocs, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Right. The dung beetle that we talked about the other
day. We do. Man, they're turkeys.
The turkeys.
Peacocks. Sorry. Remember? Look at all these chickens.
What's a peacock?
We don't need to talk about that.
Something that gives Jibs nightmares.
I have one more thing I have to throw you guys' direction, and I would be absolutely remiss if we did not talk about this. What in the literal F are those orbs for?
I have this theory that there is somehow, someplace, there's been more than one explosion. Like, they have that obelisk that's exploded and frozen in time. I don't know, this maybe, you know, I don't know when the shattered mountain shattered like that, but I'm thinking it could be a result of that.
What I think is crazy is to piggyback on that is they all seem like they're sunk in the earth or in a turnum.
Right.
So that gives weight. And if you look at some of the obelisks, they have holes in it where these things would maybe sit. So right. I think we're on to something. I think we're starting to slowly figure out. But what was their symbolization? Why were they there? And what were they doing, right? What are they used for? Were they used to contain the power of the obelisk? Were they used to keep the obelisks from exploding? And whatever happened caused those to dislodge, in turn caused those to explode, which in turn stopped time.
Hmm.
There's a lot of different ways you can look at it. But when you stand, where is it? Just north of Windsward, the city in Windsward, where all the obelisks there are. When you look at that, everything is frozen. But if everything was frozen, how did they fall to the earth? So there had to have been some movement at some point, and then everything froze. Maybe those round things are what kept the obelisks together. Maybe that's what the power flowed through. Notice the gold band around it and the different sides of it. Maybe that's what it was. And when they were kicked out of the obelisk, when they were ejected, the obelisk exploded, and then everything froze. So there had to be a time where they could have fell, or they'd still be stuck up in the air.
Right.
That's my opinion out of looking at these things for hours, trying to figure something out, hoping I'll catch something that'll give me an indication of what they are.
Do you think they're tied together, like the obelisks and the shattered mountain? Do you think
Oh yeah, I think it's all tied together for sure.
Right, and how do we know that? Right. Well, how do we know these spheres weren't making the constellations above the obelisks? Maybe we should count the ones around the obelisks by name and see how many stars are in those constellations and try to find that. Maybe that's another way to look at it. You know, maybe they had a floating constellation above it. Since they're named after constellations, it's not a far cry to think that they had those hovering or sitting. And when the obelisk, I can't say that damn word, bro. I'm having JB time.
When the big balls,
oh, come on,
the big old towers to kick the balls out. But what I'm saying is that point, maybe an event happened to where those fell from the sky and that locked everything up.
It makes sense that they fell from the sky. Number one, because the larger ones are inset in the ground as if they fell from the sky.
Yes, sir.
Right.
It also makes sense that they could have been held in some sort of stasis, because look at what happened to the main tower. The main tower freaking blew its lid, and those particles are held in stasis. Like, they don't move. You look at it and they are completely still. Like, something said, ouch, boom, hold on, stay right there.
Like,
so there is obviously power when you're near that in Windsward, right? When you're near the tower, you feel the damn thrumming.
Mm-hmm.
We've written it into our lore lessons. You feel that damn thrumming in your chest, so you know you're in a place of power.
Right.
Yes.
And you just said something that kind of made me go way down a rabbit hole. But like, maybe, like, are you suggesting something or someone stopped the culmination of that explosion? Maybe the explosion happened and something or someone somewhere froze it in time.
Something more powerful to stop an explosion, to stop stasis, to stop that power that just had that had happened because of whatever caused it. The ancients doing their experimentations with Azoth. Something happened that blew the top off that damn thing. Launched those spheres into the air that freaking hit the ground or unseated them from wherever they were perched.
Yeah.
Something stopped it all that has more power. And I guarantee you, if there is that something, it's still on Eternum.
Could it have been the ancients that stopped it? And in their effort of freezing all of it in time, became frozen themselves.
Or wipe them all off the face of the island.
Right.
Because they knew maybe their evil was getting so, like, look at the corrupted. They become corrupted and that's it. Like, you're corrupted. That is it. But the ancients were theory time. Ancients were experimenting so gnarly, so hardcore with Azoth that the Azoth started to sense there may be ill intention here. And it started to turn and it started to drive them further into those experiments to where the island finally said enough.
Right.
Power overload. Boom. Everything blows. and the ancients had this moment of realization, but at the time had the power to say, stop before we destroy everything. I don't know. It's far-fetched. Look, man, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I should be wearing a foil freaking hat. I don't know, but it'd be pretty damn cool.
Well, let's get you off the bridge and bring in something we do know. Lore page. Greenville and the temple. Circles within circles. Maddie's words again prove true. The skeletons on the outskirts of the structure have small spheres, with markings much like the great spheres embedded in their chests. They were not posed as warnings. They seemed to have lived once, and I could see the trails they had worn in the stone and the temple perimeter, as if they had walked a circle about in countless times, yet simple one day stopped. I took one of the spheres for study.
I think she said chemtrails. She said chemtrails. I'm telling you! I told you! It's a conspiracy!
Well, can we get the guy we normally send to get his jacket put on and get his arms wrapped around his stomach? Jesus,
those arms
man.
Up. I think it goes.
Come on, you guys.
I think it goes without saying. After you know this being the final bit of our series on the ancients for now, that Aeternum has a whole lot of hidden secrets. One of those being what is actually alive within Aeternum. Things within the island itself that are not the ancients, that are not like human beings or you know what was once human beings. Parts of this island, especially if you're reading lore pages, you will see. Things have come alive on their own. And so to kind of go hit to wrap this up, it definitely says something or speaks to something when you talk about the island freezing things in time. And it, you know, also here as well, you know, could have been a warning. I don't know. But ultimately, I can't wait to see how this develops in future DLCs. There is so much ahead of us. So much, and we know it's funny because sometimes you forget, you know, when we're doing this week in, week out, just doing our thing, you forget it's only been out for 2 months.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've been doing it for a long time because we did a lot of, we obviously been in the game for a while, but I feel like I've been in the game and then I'm reminded I am an infant.
Yeah.
Of
just
lore.
Getting started, man.
I'm an infant, man. I mean, the things that we're talking about, I love coming back to shows like this a year later.
Yeah.
And you know the answers and you can see right. How close you were, right? Yep. You can see, were you even close? Was it even a thing? Did you guess it right? Did you find what you were missing? Did you find that little piece that would have told you everything? Because it's out there.
Yeah.
I love this. I absolutely love it.
My biggest worry, and I know this isn't going to be the case, my biggest worry is that the ancients turn, that mystery behind the ancients turn into what the Dwemer was in Elder Scrolls.
Oh.
Where you have, there's so much speculation, and you have Todd Howard like standing in some back room just flipping us all off going, ha ha, never going to know.
I just, if AGS, please. If you're listening, please don't do that thing.
Don't do that to us.
Don't.
Yeah, but like the love... For this, for what's going on right now, is the fact that the ancients are a mystery that we're trying to learn more about. At every single turn, there's something more interesting, something more mind-blowing about them. So, folks, our series is not over on the ancients. We've just hit three good lore lessons on the ancients, and as more comes out, we're going to continue to deep dive into the story of them. We promise we will bring it to you. We want you... to hit us up with questions about what plagues your mind in regards to the story, because there is so much here to uncover. Thank you, friends, for being with us for part 3 of The Ancients. More to come.
Agreed. Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. This was episode 15 of the Lore Seekers podcast, and we can't thank you enough. Hey, if you enjoyed the show, we want to hear from you. Tell us how we're doing. Tell us what you like, what you'd like to see. And here's how you can do that. Pause the show for a minute, or after the show's done, go find your podcast app that you're using. Leave us your review. We want to hear from you. For every 5-star written review that we get on iTunes, we will read your review right here on the show. Show you some love. And we got one here today from the US of A. This is Kloof91. Says, quote, "These people do a good job."
Nice.
We appreciate it.
Nice. A man of perfect words.
That's right.
Just short, simple, to the point. That's but hey, right. If you want to call us,
I love it.
Right? If you can call, you want to call us at 765-382-6961. Please keep your message to 1 minute or less. You can email us at loreseekerscast@gmail.com. You can also find our podcast, written lore lessons and articles at loreseekerscast.com.
Friends, follow us on the social medias because we do that thing. Follow Jibs on Twitter, Jibs IRL. Follow Champ at Champ2504. Sullis is at Sullis, and myself, Cash, is at LoreSeekerCash. Cash is with a K. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at LoreSeekersCast.
You can also follow our second Lore Seekers podcast show called 2A Turnum, where yours truly presents our company's storyline at a role-playing setting. We talk community, company management, and you choose a lot of the direction of the story. You can also follow us on Twitch here at twitch.tv/LoreSeekersCast.
Friends, thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you have a great week. Stay awesome. Stay classy, Aeternum.
Love you guys.